The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Ratio Tess, then Avelos Beshabbos V'Yontif, the laws, the halachas of Avelos of mourning on Shabbos and Yontif. Now, what's unique about Shabbos and Yontif as far as the laws of the Avelos are concerned? And the answer is one very important rule, and that is that there's no Avelos Befarhesio in public on Shabbos. So therefore, public forms of Avelos are not done on Shabbos and Yontif, even Al Cholamayit. So therefore, as we're going to learn, many of the external demonstrations of mourning are not done on Shabbos. However, things that are personal, let's say marital relations, or even what a person learns, those things do apply on Shabbos. And there's going to be a lot of questions about different things on Shabbos. How public really are they? For example, there is a question in Paiskim, and even today, different rabbis, different rabbanim give different answers. We know the halacha is that a person is supposed to change their seat, move their seat in the shul. So if they see the sit up front, they should sit more towards the back as a sign of mourning. What's the law on Shabbos? What's halacha on Shabbos? Does one have to change their seat? So some say, well, you shouldn't change your seat because people notice, hey, why is Yankel not sitting in his normal seat? It must be that he's an avil, so that's a veil spiv v'hesia, that's a public demonstration of mourning. It's not permitted. Or they say, no. You know, and sometimes people come late to davening, sometimes people change their seat. It's not so public, it's not so blatant, so therefore it's mutter. That's why, again, there are different opinions about that. It seems from the kids actually before that his opinion was that one does change their seat on Shabbos, except in certain circumstances, but generally one does change their seat. But again, there's definitely different legitimate customs. Sif Aleph. Shabbos, Shabbos HaShiva, the Shabbos that comes in the middle of the week of mourning, Noig Boib Dvarim Shabbat Sina. One conducts themselves in the laws of Avelos when it comes to private things, the Hayon Sh'Osr B'Tashmer Shamita, that one is prohibited in marital relations, urechitza, and washing, all these things are private. But things that are public, they do not apply. And therefore, kaidem mizmor shirli yom ha-shabbos, noel asham in alayim, v'yoshev alakisei, umachlev asabeger akarua. He says that right before the congregation says, mizmor shirli yom ha-shabbos, that is the verse, the Psalm of Tehillim, that talks about accepting the Shabbos. So at that point, the mourner may put on his shoes. And again, the reason why he puts on his shoes is because people see him going without shoes or in sneakers or something that's not normally worn. So it shows mourning. It's something that's noticeable. Yeshua al-Kisei, obviously, if he's going to sit on the floor, that's going to be noticeable. Machlev Sabegen, Hakarua, and he takes off the clothing that are ripped, because again, these are all outward forms of mourning. Now, the Kitzer says at the time of Mizmor Shir, I believe the different Svarim, some hold that you could do it earlier, sort of a couple hours before Shabbos, or at least a little bit before Shabbos, the time that people are already going to Shul, because then already it's still considered that close enough to Shabbos that one could. Doesn't have to keep those laws of Avelos. Now, I saw an idea brought, a solution brought from different Paiskim that say, if the Avel wants to change his clothes earlier, so as long as it's after Plag HaMelech, it's towards sunset, so he could accept Shabbos earlier in his house, and then he would already be allowed to switch into Shabbos clothes. And the custom is also, in many shuls, that when they accept Shabbos early, so the Avel, the mourner, doesn't go into the shul until after Mincha. At that point, he's greeted, and they say it's the chazan, or someone, or the shamash, or the shul, says, Tzu l'kras ha'Avel, go and greet the mourner, and they all say, Hamakoyim, Yinacham Eschem B'Sarach Shal Avilat Yerushalayim. That is a custom that's practiced as long as it's early, that it's not already Shabbos. If it would be already Shabbos, they would not be allowed to do that. The Talmud Torah, Havidavar Shabbatzino, and the learning of Torah is something that's private. So therefore, again, one does needs to keep to the laws of mourning, which would be to only learn things that are not happy or things that have to do with mourning. But to review the parsha once with Chumash, twice with Chumash, and once with the Targum, the explanations of Unkelus Mutter is permitted. The Kivin Shechayu Adon L'Hashlam Parsha Yosef, since it's an obligation to review the parsha, have it like a Kares Shema Chodem Miseder Hayoyim. It's permitted just as one's allowed to recite Shema. Now this is an interesting point. Nelson Avil is prohibited in learning Torah, yet he's allowed to read the parsha according to the Kitzur. And the Kitzur is saying, because since it's something that he needs to do, he has obligations, so he's allowed to do it, just like one said a Shema. Now, if you ask most people, they'll tell you that Shema is like a tefillah, it's like a prayer. But actually, Shema, especially according to certain Acharonim, later commentaries, the Shagas Ari, Shema is actually verses of the Torah, is learning Torah. Now, why is one permitted? Because since there's an obligation, so therefore, something that one's obligated to do, that therefore they're allowed to do during the Shiva. Now, the question is, could we extend this to other things? Let's say a person every day says a certain amount of Tehillim. So could he say his Tehillim every day? So some say he could, some say he can't. But one idea that I saw that was interesting is that, what is Tehillim? So, there are different sources. Some say Tehillim is more of a study, more of a learning. And the strength of Tehillim, that we know that in a time of need, it's a study of the study of Torah. Others view it as more as a prayer. So if it's being said as a prayer, then it should be permitted. Another is a lot of praise, a lot of daven. If it's being said as more of a type of learning, that might be a problem. Now another question is, there's a set of svarma, a set of books called Chok L'Yisrael. It's very popular in Europe. And it basically had divided up for every day that a person not only would do a certain portion of the Chumash, but they would also have a small tidbits of Mishnah and of Gemara and of Nach and all these things. And what if someone does it every day? Could they do it on Shabbos? And this is a difference of opinion between the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Margolis, I believe, the Beis Ephraim, whether or not it could be done, because on the one hand he keeps to his daily regimen, on the other hand it's not a real obligation, it's more of a custom. This again is a difference of opinion. Sif Beis. Im Karas Avil Lalis L'Torah. What happens if they call up the Avil to get an Aliyah? Tzarech Lalis. He needs to go up. Why? Because again, the concept of Avelus Bifur Hesi is that if he's going to do something that demonstrates mourning in public, then that's a problem. So therefore, if they're going to call him Yamoid, whomever, to come to the Torah, and everyone's going to turn their head and look, and he doesn't budge. So obviously they're going to say, oh, why? Because he's in mourning. So that's a problem to do it on Shabbos. Ki Yim Hoya Nimna, because if he would not do it, it will be a public display of mourning. And the Kitzur brings a very interesting story with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was a Rishon, the grandson of Rashi. And the story is the following. Rabbeinu Tam Hayukairu Naisa B'chol Shabbos L'Shlishi, where Rabbeinu Tam Davin, they used to call him every week to get Shlishi, the third Aliyah. The Eira Loi Avelus, and he was a mourner. So therefore the Chazan, because the law is a mourner, Loikairu Loi Chazan, the Chazan didn't call him. So what did Rabbeinu Tam do? Rabbeinu Tam felt that by not going up, it would be a showing of mourning on Shabbos, which is not permitted. So Rabbeinu Tam, without being called, went up himself. Omar, and he said, because he's used to, everyone knows, Rabbeinu Tam is supposed to get the third Aliyah. One who sees him not go up knows because of mourning. And it's a public sense of mourning, public demonstration of mourning, which is not permitted. So therefore he went up. So we see how important this idea of not demonstrating the mourning in public was to Rabbeinu Tam, that he actually went up himself. If the Kayin who always gets the first Aliyah is an Avelis, so we have no other choice but to pick him, the Inkayin Achra Vesaknes, and no one else, Tzarech L'Krai, so they need to call him up. But the Kitzur recommends that because really the laws of mourning do apply, just since it's in public, therefore we have no choice, so therefore it's proper if the Kayin could leave beforehand, so therefore there wouldn't be an issue. In a similar way, if the Aval has a child that needs a bris, and the custom is that we view a person who has a child who's going to have a bris as having an obligation to get an aliyah, yikru'uhu, so they need to, he should be called, because again, if he would not be called, it will be an outward display of mourning. Says, but it will be better for him to come to davening later, and that way, or to step out, and that way you wouldn't have this whole issue. Sif Gimel. Hamemuna me'akohol lius kairi b'patayra b'beis haknesis b'shabbos. The person who's in charge of being the valkyrie reading the Torah, v'eir le'avol, and he became a mourner, lo yelech b'shabbos shabbosach shibbol b'beis haknesis zeh. So, he wants to avoid being the valkyrie, because you know it's not proper for him to do that during the morning. But the problem is, if he's going to go to his normal shul and every week he's the official balkari, he's the one who lanes every single week without fail, and he's not going to lane that week, they're going to know what the reason is. So therefore, he should not let him dive in a different shul. Because if he's going to be there, one could doubt perhaps if he's not going to go up, it's going to look funny, and therefore he's going to be a display of mourning in public and have the same issue again. So therefore, the Kisser recommends let him go to a different shul. Sif Dalet. Shabbos Oyla L'Minyan Shiva. Now, if on Shabbos we don't display outward forms of mourning, so would that mean that we can't count it in one of the 7 days? So the Kitzur says yes. And the reason is because since on a private level we do observe veils, it can count as 1 of the 7 days. V'afilu shama shmua kroiva b'yoyim Shabbos. And even if a person heard about the news that the relative recently passed away on Shabbos, so it's not that he started the morning and then had a break of Shabbos and then continued afterwards, but the morning never really even started. He really didn't start. It still counts, because really once he finds out about it, again, he's prohibited in the private displays of mourning. But obviously he cannot rip his garments on Shabbos, and he should do so after Shabbos. Sif Hei. Now this is all when it came to Shabbos. What about when it came to a regel? When it came to one of the holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Bein B'yontif, Bein Mechol Moed, whether it's on the actual Yontif part, the days in the beginning or the days in the end, even on Chol HaMoed, even though we can do Malachos, even though we can do certain types of work, but it's still prohibited, still there's no laws of Avelos, L'chol of Avelos, the laws of Hills don't apply on him ad lachar regel, until after the yontif. So it's all pushed off. V'hani mili b'dvarim shel farhesya. But this is all as far as public displays of mourning. Dvarim shel b'tzina, but personal and private forms of mourning, noig gam b'regel, they do apply on yontif. Lo yachlef b'godav. However, he should not change out of his clothes of mourning. His regular clothing into clothes in the morning to have it for Hesio. Now, we mentioned earlier that the Kitzur, in a different shir, that the Kitzur says that one should not wear their big day Shabbos during the whole year of mourning. That was the opinion of the Kitzur. I saw brought in various farm that the prevalent minig is that one does wear Shabbos clothes, perhaps because it's an affront to Shabbos, whatever the reason is, but that is the custom. Now, it could be that there's a difference also, because in those days perhaps they didn't necessarily change their clothing for Shabbos, they maybe just cleaned it or wore fresh ones, so it wasn't as noticeable that a person is not wearing Shabbos clothing. Whereas today, where people wear entirely different types of clothing, so therefore if a person's going to wear their weekday clothing and it's going to be very apparent, then that would be form of avails b'fahesia, public mourning. It's no worse than the shoes. Let's say that the reason why he changes his shoes is because he's going to walk around in slippers or without shoes or some sort of footwear that's obvious that he's in mourning, that will be an outward display of avails. So that should be the same thing as well. So again, but the point over here is at least that definitely when he finds out about it on the regal, he should not change his clothing, David for Hesio, because that's an outward display of mourning. This is where he dresses the point. So at least according to the Kitzer, the Aval does wear weekday clothes, even on Yom Tov Mikomokom, especially his Chaladayin Avelis, but the one who didn't start yet, Ainul L'Shanas Regal, he shouldn't begin. So the Kitzer is giving a differentiation, but again, according to our custom, it wouldn't make a difference, because we would, you know, we don't generally wear weekday clothes on Shabbos, even during Avelis. U'misha Meniach Tefillin B'Chol HaMoed, and one who wears Tefillin B'Chol HaMoed, Yech Gam B'Yom Rishon Shachar Kfura, he should wear even the first day after the Kfura. So this is sort of an interesting thing, which is that we know an Avel, a mourner, does not wear Tefillin on the first day. Now on Chol HaMoed, people also do not wear Tefillin, because it's a yantif, whatever the reason is. Now, some people do wear tefillin. It's a machlek. It's two different opinions. So, according to, if one does wear tefillin, and he decides not to wear tefillin because of the mourning, people are going to notice it. Which is interesting, as it could be today where so mixed up that some people wear, some people don't wear, and even the same shul many times they wear, it could be that in that situation, in this situation, if he wouldn't wear, he wouldn't even be noticeable. So perhaps he would be allowed to wear. But again, I'm just saying that as a thought. But again, what the Kitzer is telling us, that if one does normally tefillin on Chol HaMoed, they should do so even on the first day, because otherwise it will be a display of avelus. Sifov la'achar haregel maschil limnais shavus yimei avelus. And the last day of Yontif counts. So basically, he only has to count 6 days. And count an additional six. And the same would be true with Rosh Hashanah, that is be counted the second day. And what he's referring to is that even though there's a question, if we say Rosh Hashanah's Yom HaRichta, it's like one long day, but as far as this is concerned, we can count the second day for the 7 days of Shiva. Siv Zayin. Afal pi she'ein avelos b'yontif v'chol ha'moed, even though there is no mourning on Yontif and v'chol ha'moed, afal gzeirah shleishim ein bohem, and there isn't even the issue of gzeirah shleishim, things prohibited during the 30-day period, and one could wear freshly laundered clothing on Yontif, Mikol Makom. Nonetheless, Kivan da Asur Behem Begiluach Machmas Amayir, because it's prohibited to shave, so there's at least some sort of demonstration of mourning, L'chein Ayelam L'minyan Shleishim, then they could be counted for the 30 days. So again, they're not counted as the 7, because since they're permitted in certain things, and as we mentioned, a basic idea in the laws of Avelos is that for a day to be counted, there has to be at least some sort of a demonstration of mourning. So the Shlosh Regalim, these days of holidays, Yontif, since one could wear freshly laundered clothing, it's not going to be counted as part of the Shiva, but since there is some sort of restriction, one cannot shave, so therefore, Ayelei Lamin and Shloshim, they would be counted as far as the counting of the 30 days. Umoyin Shloshim Yom HaKvura, and they count 30 days from the burial, Yom Shmini Atzeres, and the day of Shmini Atzeres, the extra day at the end of Sukkot, Havol Bishu Regel Lifnei Atzmai, and even though it has its own status of a regal, Mikol Makom Kivin Shalei Hischal Adayin Avelos, because he did not begin the Avelos, Eino Mevatel, he does not stop it. In other words, the halacha would be that if one began the Avelos already, then Shmini Atzeres would have its own din of a Yontif, and therefore it would even stop the 30-day period. But since it didn't begin yet, so it does not stop it. V'gam b'minyan shloshim, and also in the counting of the 30 days, it's only counted as one day. It's only counted as one day. Siv ches. Avol. However, chasen shenosa isha koydim haregel, but a groom that married a bride, a man that married a woman before Yontif, huvo haregel toich shivas yimei hamishna, and the holiday, the regel, came during the 7 days of Sheva Brachas. Umeis lemeis b'soicha regel. And now on Yontif, someone passed away. As I call Shivas Yom Mishta Shalai Enon Oil Loi Laminyan Shleishim. So the entire 7 days of the Mishta of his Sheva Brachas are not counted as part of the Shleishim. And I would assume the reason is because, as we learned before, since it's during the Sheva Brachas, so he would be allowed to do everything. So therefore, once there's no demonstration of mourning, then it can be counted even for the Shleishim. Siftes. Afal pi she'ein aveilus b'regel, even though there's no actual mourning, misaskim b'lanachamai, we could involve ourselves in consoling the person, because that aspect of it does apply. V'ein b'zeh mishum aveilus. And this is not called mourning, because kiven da'ava lav midi kavod, because the aval is not really doing anything, he's just listening, he's just responding, but he's not really showing mourning, so that's permitted. So one could talk to them about it and make them feel better. L'achar rego, and after the holiday, kishu yichlu shiva b'yem ha'kvurim, and it's already 7 days from the time of burial, the afal pisha dan lekalu shiva simei avelus. Now, even though he didn't finish the 7 days of mourning because it was pushed off because it was yontif, melachtei nasas al yedeichem bevoteihem. There is one leniency that his work could be done by others in their house. The point is like this. The point is, and this I believe it came up in the laws of doing work melacha on avelus, which is that one of the restrictions placed on an avel is not doing work. And even through others, he should not be doing work. However, if the shiva was pushed off, if it was really supposed to be on Yontif, and now because Yontif it gets pushed off till after Yontif, so then already it is more lenient that his workers could take the work home with them and do it in their houses. So it's not so apparent. So therefore, it's not a disgrace to the idea of mourning. But nonetheless, he doesn't have to suffer that loss. And his servants could also do work for him quietly and privately within his own house. He says it's not an obligation, you know, if during the regal, during the holiday, they consoled him, so therefore one does not have to do that again afterwards because they fulfilled their mitzvah. But they do things to show support, and obviously this is as far as the obligation itself, but of course there's definitely always on what to do as far as to make the avil feel better. Now I just want to add a shiloh that really pertains to the previous simon, or actually simonim, which is what is halacha if a person asks not to be eulogized? So there's a famous discussion about the Pnei Yeshua, that he asked not to be eulogized. And the question was, do we listen to him or not? Now, generally, we follow the wishes of a person that passed away. That's a very important idea. However, the idea would be that the eulogy of such a great person would actually be kavod Torah, respect for the Torah. So the Sefer Teshuvah Me'ahava brings that when the Baal Pnei Yeshua passed away, that the Nodi Behuda, the great Gadol, eulogize him, and he says, even though one is not, he asked not to eulogize, since he was the greatest scholar in Jewish people, so therefore his honor is not personal honor; it's the honor of the Torah, and therefore he cannot forgive the honor of the Torah. Now the Nedipidus student and the Shuv Me'ahava who brought this down discusses it how, you know, it's not so simple exactly this approach, but this is a discussion, this is a famous discussion when if a great person asks not to be eulogized, whether or not we listen to them. Again, the Nedipidus said that we don't, and then others say perhaps we should. The Minchas Halazar came later, was asked the question, what about writing a book or articles about someone that passed away and asked not to be eulogized? So he says that he wants to say that when the person asks not to be eulogized, what that means is to do a public eulogy. But a book and an article, it's not necessarily the same thing, and that could possibly permit it. So again, this is an interesting question that the Pesachim discuss in the laws of Avelis.